And I'm making an announcement tonight that some have been waiting a long time to hear. Nelda and I have told the church in San Luis Potosí that the end of this month or the first part of next month, we'll be leaving the church in the hands of the brothers and sisters there. About a little over 12 years ago, Bill and I went to San Luis Potosí by the appointment of the Lord, even though at the time it didn't appear that it was God at all. It was just by coincidence, it seemed, that Bill had left his furniture there, but we went and felt that that would be a good place to start at least, and we've been there for all these years. We worked for a while with the Indians in the backcountry and some of the ranches around San Luis Potosí, but about, I guess, about 9 years ago, we started the church, and the church has grown. The church has matured. I wish I could say that it was a mature church, but it's not. And that's the reason, I suppose, that it's taken me this long to make the decision. But God finally has given me the peace to leave the church in their hands. I do believe that up until this point that the Lord wasn't ready because the men were not ready to take the responsibility. But this last time we went back, we saw something different in the brothers and the church there, and God just gave us the peace to make that decision. And so we ask you, that you would pray for Nelda and I as we seek to know the Lord's will about the future. This is something that we haven't done very often, and that is make decisions about what to do next. Seems like the Lord has given us ministries that have been of longer duration, and so we haven't had the crisis of having to pray about what to do next, where to go next. But we are at this point now, and there are several possibilities, and we just ask that you would intercede with the Lord for us, that He would give us wisdom to make the right choices. The brothers in San Luis Potosí are just men like you are here. They're frail. They have many temptations that you are not faced with. They have many things in their past that they have to deal with that you don't have to deal with. They have a lot of baggage that they've carried for years. And when I think about leaving the church in their hands, I have fear and trembling. But when I realize that it's God who does the work, I'm filled with hope. I know that God is able. And so I covet your prayers, not just for Nelda and I, but for the people in San Luis Potosí. Of course, it was natural. They told us they weren't ready yet and tried to convince us to stay longer, but we do have God's peace, and so we're making the move. We thank you for your prayer and support in so many ways that's made the work there possible, just like you made the work possible in all these other places that that these missionaries have been and still are. If it were not for you, we couldn't even have gone. We wouldn't have been able to go. And we certainly couldn't have been sustained for all this time. So we do praise the Lord for you. And thank you for your part. And the work there is not a reflection of myself or Bill or Brent, Joel, Adrian, Mike, or anybody else. They all had a part in the work there. But really, it's a reflection of the work that God has done through y'all. And we praise you for it. We praise the Lord for it, and we thank y'all for your participation. One of the phrases tonight in the song really struck me, and that was a phrase that the laborers refused. It's true, isn't it? The laborers refused. You know, not long ago they had an ad in the paper in Chicago for, I think it was 300 positions in a new hotel they built up there, and there were 3,000 people lined up for those jobs. And yet, you know, it's not that way in God's work. You know, we don't have to turn people away. We don't say, well, we're sorry, you know, there's no room for you. You know, we've got so many out there preaching the gospel. Sorry, there's no more corners left. They've all been filled. And that's sad. But you know what's even sadder than that to me? Is that so many that start don't finish. You know, the Christian life is filled with all kinds of pitfalls. There are things in the Christian life that we have to contend with that some people don't make the course. I'd like to share with you some things tonight that are not just about missionaries. They do certainly involve missionaries, but
just about the Christian life in general. You know, Lindell said one time, a long time ago, something that stuck with me. He said, we're in a real war. And in a real war, there are real casualties. Since that time, I've seen and known of many, many casualties. And it's always heartbreaking. Always heartbreaking. I was never in the war, so I don't know anything about the
real kind of war that we talk about, you know, and see on the TV screen. But this war that we're in is even more real than those wars that are fought with guns. But I'm as sure as I can be that on the battlefield you don't get the use to seeing your buddies die. I don't think that it's possible to see someone by your side fall and not be touched. And yet, you know, all around us, God's people fall. But you know, something I've seen in the time that I've served the Lord is these are not accidents. These are not accidents. They could have been prevented. You know, they have a boot camp for soldiers. And they say if you really pay attention, that your chances of survival when you get to the battlefield are much greater. Too many Christians don't pay attention as they go through boot camp. And they fall. And looking at the life of Saul, King Saul, his life was filled with mistakes. 7 deadly sins in the life of Saul. 7 steps that Christians take towards defeat. I'd like to share just a few things from Saul's life that might help you. You stand in danger tonight, whether you realize it or not. There's not a man here, not a woman here, not a young person here that couldn't fall. And if we don't pay attention, we're going to be a casualty. Like I said, there are so few. And of those few, so many become casualties. And so the gospel is not preached as it should be. The message is not sent. All of Israel's casualties are no longer able to carry on the battle. And you are a part of God's army. Did you know that? You may not be a missionary. You may not be a street preacher. You may not go to one of the missions here in town or one of the old folks' homes, but you're a part of God's army. And when you fall, that means that your place is going to be vacant. And this is beside the fact that you may lose rewards, joy, blessings, but the fact that this war we're in is a real war and you're a part of that army that God has sent out to fight the enemy. It's so important that you realize.
The time won't allow me to go into these things to the depth that I would like to, but Saul's first mistake was, let me just give you this, I know this will please Willie. I've got 7 points and they're despising God's call, despising God's work, despising God's wisdom, despising God's word, despising God's power, despising God's weapons, and then despising God's name. Now the first point is where we start on a downward slide. Despising God's call. You know, so many Christians take so lightly the fact that God has called us from darkness to light. Arlene was talking about what a marvelous thing it was that God chose her. Do you think that you deserve what God did for you? Do you think that you're any different from anybody else? But you know, most of God's people really despise God's call. They don't really appreciate what God's done for them. They think they're sort of, well, God owes that to me. God doesn't owe us anything. Not anything at all. Well, Saul certainly was not one that had any merit in himself. And yet God sent Samuel one day to anoint him as king. And you know what? When the time came for him to be presented to the people, you know where Saul was? It says he was hiding among the stuff. How many of God's people tonight are hiding? When the time comes, God wants to use you. Where are you? Are you hiding? Then look at this verse. 1 Samuel 10, verse 20. Now why God does things the way he does, I don't understand. He had already been anointed as king, and yet he goes through this process of selecting the new king. And so it says, and when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Has God called you, and yet when he looks for you, you're hiding? Hiding behind your job, behind your family, behind whatever. Are you hiding from God? You know, Saul didn't really take the thing that had happened in his life seriously. He despised God's call. Now, when I say despised it, I mean he thought lightly of it. You understand what despise means? It doesn't mean hate. It means simply to think lightly of. And Saul did not appreciate, he did not really understand and glory in the fact that God had chosen him. out of all of the tribes of Israel, out of all the families of Israel, out of all the men of Israel, he alone was chosen to be king. And yet when God sought him, he couldn't be found. My, what a tragedy. Has God called you? Well, he has. You may say, well, he hadn't called me. Oh, yes, he has. You see, the call is for all of us. Not in the same way. All of us don't have the same call, but there's a call for every one of us. God, you know, I learned one thing in the potter's house, and that is that every vessel has a purpose. The potter doesn't make things just for beauty. Oh, it may be a beautiful thing. It may be a bud vase, but it's made to contain the flower. It has a purpose. God didn't save any ornamental Christians. God has called us to serve. But when he calls, so many times we can't be found. What a, you know, did you ever think about hide and seek? Some people play hide and seek with God. That's a shame. Well, that's the first thing Saul did wrong. He despised God's call. The second thing he did was to despise God's work. Just right away, it's amazing, you know, how fast Saul slid down this road to defeat and to disgrace. Look at 1 Samuel 13. Look at verse 8. And it says, as he tarried 7 days, now God had told him, Samuel had told him to go in, that he would appear at a certain time. And he tarried 7 days according to that time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines get themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. He despised God's work. You see, God had a work for Saul to do, but the work that he'd given Saul to do was not the work of the offering. This was Samuel's work. You know, if you think lightly of God's work, you'll find yourself doing what other people ought to be doing. I see in this a number of things. First of all, he didn't understand the offering at all. He didn't understand or appreciate the offering. So many times people try to do God's work and they forget that the work has already been done. The great high priest has already done the work. We don't have to do that work over again. But I see, secondly of all, the lack of patience. The lack of patience. How many Christians have fallen simply because they didn't have the patience to stick it out, to wait just a little longer? Isn't it amazing? It says this, immediately. How many times in our lives have we done something rash, something foolish, because we were tired of waiting for God, and immediately we realized if we just waited just a little longer, the answer was on the way. He despised the work of God and tried to do it himself. Lack of patience is the second step in the downward slide. First of all, we despise God's call. Then we despise the work that he's doing. You know, God's doing the work. How many times do we see in Scripture where it's not of might or by power, but it's by the Spirit of God? We despise it and we think, we better do it ourselves. You know, I see this too, that he didn't understand it all. They that wait upon the Lord, did he? They that wait upon the Lord. How long do you need to wait? Until God does the work. Until God does the work. Then the next thing I see in Saul's life is he despised God's wisdom. He despised God's wisdom. You remember, he made a foolish decision. He made the decision that nobody should eat that day that they were in the battle. And it says very plainly that the people were faint because they hadn't eaten. He made a vow, a very foolish vow. He said that if anybody eats, said he'd be put to death. You know, we do some stupid things sometimes, don't we? Just because we don't seek God's wisdom. You know what I believe? I really do. I believe that we have the mind of Christ. I don't believe that's just a verse in the Bible. I believe that's true. I believe that's reality. But we have to let God work through us. Let his wisdom work through us and not depend or rely upon our carnality, our flesh, or our education. Sometimes we make some foolish, stupid decisions. We make some stupid, foolish vows that we're not able to keep. You know, David said it's better not to vow than to vow and not pay. We need to seek God's wisdom. Despising God's wisdom, taking God's wisdom lightly, and thinking that we can apply our wisdom, thinking that we can just decide for ourselves what's best, sometimes brings dire consequences. The next thing happened in Saul's life was he despised God's word. In 1 Samuel 15, I'm not going to read the passage, but God told him to go and to destroy the Amalekites and everything they had, destroy the king. And you know what happened? He had a better plan. He was going to save the best of all the cattle for an offering, and
He saved old Agag sort of as a trophy, you know. It's going to be great to march him back to Jerusalem, you know, and say, look what I did. And so when Samuel came, he says, what about it, Saul? Have you kept God's word? He said, oh, yeah, I sure did. Well, what's all this noise I hear? And he began to try to explain away what had happened. You know what he said? He said, it's because of the people. Are you disobedient to God sometimes because you're afraid of what people think? Are you really more concerned about what people think than what God says? Then you despise God's word. You think lightly of God's word. You're more concerned about the opinions of people than you are about what God has spoken. Now remember what we said? People don't fall accidentally. All along the way, God has signposts. God has warnings all along the road. And yet people, because they don't take notice of these signposts, wind up as casualties. Saul, how many times is Saul warned? How many times does Saul have the admonition of the Lord through Samuel? And how many times does he turn a deaf ear and go on his own way? And like I say, these people that have fallen, it hasn't been an accident. They have disregarded the examples and the admonition from God's word. You may do the same thing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, let him that thinks that he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now, how do we know whether or not we despise God's word or not? When we don't pay attention to it, that's despising it. When we don't do what it says, then we're despising God's word. We're thinking lightly of God's word. And that's what he did. He thought that he could almost do the job and that it would be counted as doing the job. He thought that what he did was sufficient because he said, I've done what God said. And a lot of people think the same thing. But they don't finish the work. They don't do all that God said because they're concerned about what people say or what people think. Paul's next mistake was despising God's power. Look in 17:11, 1 Samuel 17, verse 11. It says, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, this is talking about Goliath, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know, I see Christians that have gotten to this point in their life, and you know what? Everything scares them. I'm amazed at how many fears Christians that have gone this far in their disobedience, gone this far in breaking these cardinal principles. How many things bring them fright. They're afraid of their shadow. Here is Saul, who is head and shoulders above all the people, and yet he's trembling and quaking just like anybody else. You know why? Because he despised God's power. He didn't esteem God's power as he should have. He thought that Goliath, a mere man, could defy the army of God and get away with it because he didn't appreciate God's power. Do you appreciate God's power in your life? Do things frighten you? Or are you afraid of the future? Are you afraid of not being able to pay your bills? Are you afraid of cancer? What are you afraid of? Oh, we have these nice little verses, you know, that we memorize. But what about reality? I will not fear what man can do to me. That sounds good. But what about reality? Do we quake and tremble as Saul did? Listen, my friend, God has said that nothing or no one can touch his anointing. Did you know that? There has to be permission given before anyone can touch it. Do you believe that? If you do, what are you afraid of? We're talking about getting shot down. We're talking about being defeated, becoming a casualty. When you get to this point in your Christian life, you're way down the road to defeat. I've seen missionaries one by one as they've gone down this road. And you know, it's almost like it's a slide. Once you start, it's almost impossible to stop. One thing follows the other. You know, the best way to not wind up at the bottom is to not take that first step, despising God's call. Do you appreciate the fact that you've been saved? Do you appreciate the fact that God has called you into His glorious kingdom? The next thing that Saul did was to despise God's weapon. And all we see this on the mission field all the time, don't we? We see people that are using the things of the world, trying to teach better ways of farming, trying to teach I guess one of the strangest things I heard of was this guy was going to start a school teaching Greek to these Mexican preachers who didn't even speak Spanish very well. Here's Goliath, and David finally shows up and says, I'll fight him. And Saul said, well, you can't go like that, son. You got to have some preparation. And so he puts on him his own armor, thinking that that's what David needs. He despised the weapons of God. You know what Paul said? He said that our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're spiritual. And you know why? Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood.
Our enemies are not those people that we meet on the street. Our enemy is the one who is God's enemy. And therefore we have to have spiritual weapons. And you know what David did? It was very simple. He simply went out and met the giant with a sling and a stone. And he slew the giant. Do you despise God's weapons? Do you think you've got a better way than God has? A better method than God has? You know, the Word of God has been tried and has been found to be true. It's not under test. But what about in your own personal life? Do you go to some man for counsel instead of to the Word of God or to a man of God? I don't know. I'm not real sure. I wouldn't say that it was sin to go to a psychiatrist. I just don't understand a Christian going to a psychiatrist. I really think that's the weapons of the world. That's the means that the world offers. God has a better way. What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in man's inventions? Are you trusting in man's ways? Are you trusting in tonight the weapons of God that are mine? Well, and this is sad, but the last thing that Saul did was to despise God's man. When he made that first initial mistake, God already started looking for somebody else. And when David showed up and they started singing about Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands, old Saul got jealous. And from that time on, he said he couldn't look upon David with favor. Do you despise God's man? Do you resent the fact that God uses somebody else? Do you see someone else with the blessing of God upon their life and are envious and jealous? You know, that's the result of these other six steps that have been taken. We ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice when God uses somebody else. I heard a story a long time ago. The end of the year had come and somebody asked the pastor what the result was of that year. He said, well, says, we haven't done too well there. Praise God, the message didn't either. You know, that's a shame, isn't it? That we like to see other people fail. Isn't that a shame? What I want to share with the United States is that we don't have enough soldiers to fail. Not even one. You see what a small group we have here tonight? Well, I'll tell you what. When the enemy starts shooting us down, we're going to be even smaller in numbers. You're important to God. Did you know that? He calls you with a purpose. You're here tonight because of God's grace. Do you despise God's work in your life? Do you think of it too lightly? You know, think one way you can tell. If you have to think twice about whether you're going to go to a meeting or stay at home and watch TV, you despise it. If you have to think twice about whether you're going to give to a missionary or you're going to buy something that you want for yourself, you're thinking lightly. You despise it. If you have to think about whether you're going to obey what God said or not, you're despising His word. What is there to decide? What is there to consider? If God said it, that's the end of it. But when we consider, when we even bring it into our mind to consider whether or not we'll do it, it's because we despise. These are dangerous times. I remind you again. People have become can't do that. They had to walk all of these times. They had to despise.
God, I don't believe God won't. I know that. You couldn't believe use that verse justify your faith. A man who's fallen into sin, and then he uses that verse. If you're not living tonight according to the knowledge and understanding you have of God's word, and you say, well, I know that all things work together for good, you don't understand Romans 8:28. God never intended for you to be a failure. He accepted. That's why He put all of these warnings to show it. You know, we have a verse. What do you think about the negative things that we're talking about? But you know, that works on the positive side just as well. If you do the things that God said to do, you're going to wind up over here on the side that Paul was on when he said, I fought a good fight. I'm ready. There's too many on Saul's side. Too many failures. Too many that have been shot down. Too many that have wound up in defeat. And it's the first thing, if God calls you to serve Him, then you ought to be jumping up. You know, I never have understood. I really haven't. Maybe I'm different from anybody else. They tell me I am. You know, when God called me, I didn't fight at all. Not even people talking about, you know, they fought God for 10 years. Man, I was so anxious to find out what God wanted me to do. Man, when He told me, I was so glad to do it. I didn't wait any time. I was ready. I don't understand this. I really don't. Why would you fight against a God who loves you? Why would you fight against a God who's provided something better for you than the world could ever give you?
Do you despise God and want to use
whatever the world puts out there to apply? If you do, you despise calling your mistaken. Don't become another. God needs all soldiers that are healthy. Maybe God's called you. Maybe you're like Moses and say, but Lord, I can't. God can do. Maybe you say, but I just don't know.
Not what you know.
You know Him?
Just didn't really make
tell somebody that knows the Lord.
But have you despised
him? I don't know who you are. Don't make
it.